After all they had done together, Peter was part of the inside circle. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was the one who at Caesarea Philippi had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But all of a sudden, it was mere words, because when the time of testing really came, Peter is saying, "I don't even know him." What a betrayal.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In Pastor Grant's message last week in our series on the Passion of Christ, we considered the unthinkable. How it was that a life of bad choices and covered sin led Judas to a place where he willingly betrayed the gentle and loving Jesus into the hands of a murderous mob with a kiss. This week, Pastor Grant brings the second part of that message entitled, "The Pain of Betrayal," as he looks at an even greater pain to come. Turn with us now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and verses 54 through 62, as Pastor Grant shows us how it was that a man who genuinely loved the Lord could get to a place where he, too, could betray his loving Lord. Pastor Grant.
Let's take a look at how the Savior was betrayed by Judas. Let's look at the story of the betrayal. It was shortly after midnight, and Jesus was about to leave the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was about to leave, remember the hour now, it's very late. Some writers say it might have been 12:30. Some say it may have been 1 a.m. in the morning. But what we know, this is real late. Jesus had been praying. He was in the garden with his disciples. And he's about to leave. And he's confronted by Judas and a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent by the high priest. These men were armed as if they were trying to arrest an armed revolutionary. What in the world was Judas doing mixed up with this type of a crowd? But there was more pain of betrayal to come. You see, Judas was only a part of the story. In fact, if you notice the passage we read in chapter 26, verse number 56 tells us, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You've traveled with this man for 3.5 years. And now the time of testing has come. Every single person is gone. In fact, the Gospel of Mark tells you that guys were so desperate to get out of Dodge that one guy left was a stripper. Did you know that? One of the guys, there was a streaker. Did you know that? Oh, you read it, they're counting Matthew. The Bible says they grabbed hold of one of the disciples. And he ran away naked because they were holding on to his clothing so much. And he that was going to stop him. He broke free. The Bible says he ran away totally naked because he had to get out. He didn't want to get mixed up with this Jesus. And so here we are. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 6-9, was read for us about Peter and what happened with Peter. But I wanted to use the account that Luke gives us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, I'm going to use that account for the parallel passage which we read there in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 54 down to verse 56. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and the Word of God says, "Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But she denied it, 'Woman, I don't know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking,
the rooster crowed.
Look at some steps to the betrayal, if you don't mind. Number one, with Peter. Notice he followed at a distance. Did you see that in verse number 54? Peter followed at a distance. You see, when the mob came, Peter was brave because Jesus was still there. And when once Jesus was there, Peter what? He grabbed his sword and he swung it and he was Mr. Courageous. But now that Jesus was gone, Peter was following at a distance. Isn't it a pity that some people only take a stand for God when they're with other Christians? You know, some Christians, when they're at church, they can sing hallelujah. Some people, sometimes you watch TV and folks are running around the church. They just love Jesus so much. But, you know, once they get out there and they're by themselves, nobody knows that I love Jesus. Is that me? Is that how I am? That the only time I know about Jesus is when I am with others. But secondly, don't miss here, Peter sat at the world's fire. In verse number 55, it tells us there, Luke, but when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Peter sat at the world's fire. You know what is sad? As I studied and I compared the various parallel passages, I realized from looking in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 6 to 7, that Jesus, at this very minute, all this time that Peter is here sitting, Jesus was being spit on and pummeled. Jesus was getting the roughhouse treatment. And Peter was able to just sit and watch. As I thought of it, I said, Lord, help me that I am not comfortable in ungodly environments. Do you know it's possible for us as Christians to be comfortable in ungodly environments? You know it's possible that you can be a Christian and people can be destroying the church or destroying the name of Jesus. And it's possible that as a Christian, you sit there quietly. In fact, you may even sit there and smile. While Jesus is being given the roughhouse treatment, when they're defaming the name of the Savior, it's possible, like Peter, for us to sit there. Because we have learned how to keep warm at the world's fire. Listen, God did not make any Christian chameleons. Do you know what a chameleon is? A chameleon is a lizard with a highly developed ability to change color. And the lizard can be brown one minute and he can be green the other as he tries to. What is he trying to do? He's trying to fit in, right? And so this chameleon can just change color. And sometimes if we're not careful, we are Christian chameleons with this ability, this amazing ability to fit in. When we're with the Christians, we have the language of Canaan. When we are with the world, we just fit in. If we hang out with the boys and they want to go take, drink a six pack, oh yeah, we can join in. Peter sat at the world's fire. And then eventually, Peter denied Jesus three times. What a woman came and said, you were with Jesus. And Peter said, I don't know him. No. Do you realize this is the same guy that hours earlier had said to Jesus, Jesus, no matter what everybody else does, though none go with you, still I will follow. Jesus, I'm going to follow you all the way. Listen, Jesus, you can count on me. I don't know about them other 11, but Jesus, you can count on me. And here he is, a little girl comes to him and says, "Weren't you one of them?" "I don't know him." But then it goes on, and the Bible says somebody else comes along and says, "Certainly you are one of his disciples." He says, "I am not." Young person, older person, how committed are you to Jesus? And third, finally, somebody came to him the third time. And Matthew 26, 74 tells us that this time Peter was cussing. Peter, he was cussing. He was swearing. You know, sometimes it's frightening to hear the language of Christians who are trying to fit in. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it is frightening to hear the language of Christians who are trying so hard to fit in, to seem as if they're not one who belong to Jesus. They want to seem like they're part of the world. And so in order to identify, your mouth is as dirty, it's as filthy as the other person's mouth. May God have mercy on you. And might this morning the Spirit of God challenge you. And this morning might you say, "Oh God, I've wandered far away. God, I need to come back. I need to come back to the foot of the cross. I need to repent. I need to say, 'Oh God, I am sorry for the way I have lived. I'm sorry for the fact that I've been hanging out with the world, that I've been warming myself at their fire. And God, this morning, I want to follow you all the way.'" I wonder how Jesus felt. I wonder how Jesus felt. After all they had done together, Peter was part of the inside circle. There were at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was the one who at Caesarea Philippi had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But all of a sudden, it was mere words. Because when the time of testing really came, Peter is saying, "I don't even know him." What a betrayal. What a betrayal. Luke 22 verse 61, the Bible tells us there. Then in Luke 22, 61, it tells us the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And this morning, God, the Lord Jesus, is looking straight at you and he's looking straight at me. I wonder, what was that look like? I wonder, how did his eyes seem? As he looks at Peter, did he show his disappointment? Was he tearing up? What we do know, that look did something dramatic to Peter, because verse 62 tells us, then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. When he saw the look in the eyes of the Savior, when Peter looked at the eyes of his master, the Bible said it did something to Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord that spoke to him. And verse 62, and he went outside and wept bitterly. He was broken before God, and he wept bitterly. And this morning, it is my prayer that the Spirit of God will break your heart, and he will break my heart. And this morning, we might sense the fact that the Spirit of God is working with us, that the Lord Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, "What are you going to do?" But look, there were reasons for the betrayal. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. Matthew 26 verse 14 to 16 tells us he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. You know that? You know what is amazing? It was only 4 months' wages for an average worker. Do you know that's how little value he had put on him? 4 months' wages for an average worker. That's what he sold him out for. What a shame. Peter betrayed Jesus for money. Judas betrayed for money. Peter betrayed because of fear.
And here's the question.
What's the reason for our betrayal? What's your price? Listen, here's a question. What would it take for you to turn your back on God? If someone offered you $1 million, would you walk away from the Lord? If he said, I'll give you $1 million if you turn. Is 10 million your price? Is money your hot button or is it fear? Is it if they put you in a box and you're afraid, is that what would make you turn? Or is it that disappointment? Oh, you were hoping God would do something and he hasn't done it. You know, a number of people walk away from God because of disappointment. He hasn't delivered. What's your price?
This message is part of a series on the Passion of Christ that Pastor Grant will wrap up during our Easter weekend services. You are invited to visit us, but if that's not possible, please call to order a CD or a DVD or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, to view these messages.
This is Taylor Noble inviting you to join us for our Easter weekend series. Our Good Friday Communion service begins at 12:30 p.m. And on April 5th, our special Easter Sunday service begins at 10:45 a.m. Come and join us as Pastor Grant delivers a special message entitled, The Impact of the Resurrection. For directions and further details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
I hope this morning that we might all decide that I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No matter what the cost might be, no matter what the pressure might be, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I pray that would be your decision. But I don't want to end without noticing two responses to betraying Jesus. Is there hope for the betrayer? I started by asking, can you mess up your life so badly that you can't undo the damage? I want you to notice the two responses, the response of Judas and the response of Peter. As we try to answer that question, let's go back to Matthew chapter 27 as we try to answer that question. Can you mess up so badly that you cannot come back around? And oh, if you're here this morning and you've messed up, things seem as if there's absolutely no hope. I want you to notice what the Spirit of God is saying. Chapter 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your problem. How cold-blooded these guys are. You see, the devil can get you in a hole, but you better believe the devil ain't letting you out of that hole. So they come back. The man is now so sorry. He says, here's the money. Comes to the religious people. So Judas threw the money in the temple and left. Then he went away. And what did he do? He hung himself. Judas was sorry he had sinned. He went that far. Judas realized he had sinned, but he stopped short. Realizing you're a sinner and being sorry for your sin is not good enough. I hope you realize that. Realizing you're a sinner and being sorry for the sin you have done is not good enough. Judas recognized he was a sinner. He was sorry for his sin, but it wasn't enough. So the question is, can you mess up so badly that you can't undo the damage? And the answer is, yes. You can mess up so badly that you can't undo the damage If you decide to stay, if all you do is to be sorry for your sin, you will never recover. But I want you to notice Peter's response in Matthew 26, verse 75. And the word of God says in verse 75, then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was not just sorry. It is clear from Scripture that Peter repented of his sin. This was a cry of repentance. You've heard me say before, this little illustration, a teacher asked the class, what is repentance? And a little girl said, repentance is being sorry for sin. And the teacher said, that sort of, but that's not fully correct. And then the little boy, he got up and he said in the Sunday school class, he says, repentance is when you're so sorry, you're sorry enough to quit. And I want you to recognize, my friend, that that is the answer at its core. Repentance is being sorry for your sin, but sorry enough that you're willing to quit. That you're willing to come to God and say, oh God, as you help me with the help of the Spirit of God, I want to change. Can you mess up your life so badly that you can't undo the damage? Yes, you can if you refuse to repent. But it doesn't have to go that way. And I'm so glad I'm a preacher of the gospel, of the grace of God, that I bring good news with me. Because the good news is that if you decide to repent, listen, Peter had messed up badly. Peter said, I don't even know him. Peter said, brought curses on himself as he swore. But Peter, unlike Judas, Peter repented of his sin. He was sorry about what he had done. He was broken before God. And I want you to know this morning, listen, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how far you have drifted. The good news is that there is hope. If you would come to Jesus today and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. But this morning I want to turn away from my sin. And I want to come your way. You may be a Christian. You may be in a backslidden condition. You've done some stuff that you know has not made God so happy with the way you are living. But if this morning you would come to God and say, oh God, I'm sorry, but God, I'm so sorry, I want to change. Will you help me? He'll help you. And that's our prayer this morning, that there may be some decisions made for Jesus, that somebody in the quietness of your heart would come to Jesus and tell him, here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, Lord Jesus. I have decided to follow you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.